Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark, and here alongside Kim St. Ange and Ethan Bright, and Drew is helping us out this morning as well. We appreciate that. Got lots to get to for you before the end of the show today, so don't miss a minute of it. Next hour, we are going to do our Queen of Hearts drawing for Guns N' Hoses at about 8:20. We have got Chad Pergram from Fox News joining us at about 8:35 because he is going to be the talking about these GOP leaders and their priorities for the big, beautiful bill that the president's trying to negotiate with them right now to try to get that thing done. Maybe some surprises in there before this is all over with. And we're also going to talk about people's perceptions of downtown St. Louis and versus some development that is going on down here. Like, if you don't live downtown, if you don't work downtown, you might not realize it. But there are people investing pretty large amounts of money downtown, and they claim that they're doing that successfully, particularly along Washington Avenue. I mean, a lot of the stories we hear are of, you know, fights or after-hour parties or something like that outside of bars and restaurants down here. But this is maybe a good trend. And we're going to talk to one of the local developers coming up here at about 8 a.m. this morning in about an hour from right now. So I promise you we'll get to all of that for you still ahead this morning. I do want to mention on our Feed Our First Responders, you have an opportunity to go online and nominate a first responder that you admire. It can be a police officer, might be a firefighter, EMS worker, somebody you know does a good job every day. They go put their life on the line for us, and we'll select a winner each month. Grillmaster Tony, grillmastertony.com, prepares the food, and we go feed them. We just drop the food off. I'll take it personally, and oftentimes Tony goes with me to deliver it. We were at Chesterfield Police Department this past week to drop off some food, and we'll do that again at the end of the month of May. So all you got to do is go to 971talk.com/contests, and you'll find the link there that you just fill out the information and submit it, and then we will select a winner. How about that? All right, right now, Ethan, let's get to our shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You know, they get $50 million a year, congressional money, to give grants. These are things like, you know, alpaca farming in Peru, improving the marketability of peas in Guatemala.
Ooh, I know I need to know how they market peas in Guatemala. Just more examples of government waste uncovered by Elon Musk and his Doge team.
The economy shrank, first time in 3 years. People are pointing to the tariff policy. There are people looking at their 401ks that are worried.
Yeah. The Joe Biden economy, that would be from the first quarter there, Brett Baer. He was talking to Vice President J.D. Vance last night on his show.
The polls show Trump has the lowest 100-day approval rating since they started polling.
There's a poll out today that has your approval rating lower than any other congressional leader. Are you concerned that you may be a liability for your party?
Polls come and go. Our party is united.
Chuck Schumer's like, he's got the worst polls ever. What about your poll? Polls come and go. This is Chuck Schumer encapsulated for you.
No, but you started the conversation, right?
Well, I don't have any comment.
Okay.
Yeah, how about that? A confrontation with a Tesla vandal that happened right here in town. We don't know the name of the Tesla owner, although if you're listening, I would absolutely love to hear from you. Call me. We don't know the name of the Tesla owner, but this is going viral on the X this morning because of how the guy handled it. He sees this guy because, you know, I don't know if you're a Tesla vandal, tune out for a minute. Teslas have cameras at every angle. So when you approach a Tesla, even if you've just parked next to it, the car records you standing there while you're getting into your car. So if you decide to vandalize a Tesla, there are images of you from five different cameras, front, back, up, down, everything. There's no way you can approach a Tesla without being on video. And these morons, these left-wing lunatics, either don't know that or they don't care. So this happened in Kirkwood, and again, there's no relevance here for me on the somebody retweeted this, and therefore I don't know where it happened is the problem for me to tell you. Well, you know, it happened somewhere in Kirkwood. I don't even know when it happened, but the Cybertruck owner comes by and he sees this sticker on his car with curse words on it that I can't repeat on the radio. And he reviews the video of his truck, and he sees this guy, older guy, looks like a professor, has the little British cap on his head, carrying a book bag, a valet case on his shoulder. And he walks up, and he slaps this sticker on the side of the Tesla. So the Tesla owner follows him into a restaurant and confronts him. And the guy's so dumb that he completely denies that he knows what the guy's talking about. And then he suddenly gets embarrassed and has no comment. That's who they're like keyboard warriors. They don't want to confront the owner of the Tesla. They just want to vandalize the Tesla and walk away. And somehow it makes them feel like bigger people. Listen to this interaction that happened over in Kirkwood. Here we go.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah. You like putting stickers on cars?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't? Yeah, I got a video of you. You don't know?
No.
Okay. That's fascinating.
I'm curious what your motive is here, because like I get in the car with my kids. There's curse words people are putting on my car.
All right.
I got you on video. Twice.
All right.
Twice.
I don't have anything to say about it.
You should, man. At least defend your position. Like, be a man. Have a debate with me.
You don't want to continue the conversation?
No.
But you started the conversation.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Right?
Well, I don't have any comment.
Okay.
So then he follows the guy outside of the restaurant and confronts him again.
You started it, so I'm just trying to answer your questions. You made a statement, you put something on my car, and now you don't want to discuss it.
Yeah, and then he starts playing music of the guy talking to police. Now, here's the truth of this situation. I did find this on a post by somebody named Christian Kirk. I don't know if Christian Kirk is the owner of the car or if he's just the one that reposted the video. But what he says on this post is that the Kirkwood police would not press charges against this guy. And they said because the local prosecutor was unlikely to charge him because there was no physical damage to the car. Have you ever tried to get a sticker off the side of your car? You can damage the paint and all kinds of things.
Even if there's no damage, it's not trespassing, but wouldn't there be something that you could charge?
Vandalism, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, because it's still your property that they're doing something to.
Yeah, I don't know the politics of the prosecutor down in Kirkwood, but there's video here of three Kirkwood police officers confronting this guy. Apparently, he was not arrested or ticketed, according to what I'm able to read here. I recognize those apartments in the background in downtown Kirkwood there, right off of where Lindbergh goes past the railroad tracks. You can see those apartments in the background.
The ones in the main area with all the restaurants?
So I don't know. I'm pretty sure those are the apartments I can see in the background of this video. I will try to share it to my X page so that you guys can see it.
Yeah, blast maybe, this guy's face
maybe
everywhere.
Somebody will recognize this idiot and then... And then he will go viral. I'll retweet this thing so that people can see it. And he looks like a college professor. Or at least he's trying to. And he doesn't have the guts to admit what he's just been caught doing on camera. And I'd love to know. I mean, if you live in Kirkwood, if you're a police officer in Kirkwood, you're hearing this. Email me or something. Let me know what the status is. I'd love to know why these people can get away with this, but don't have the courage to even argue for their convictions. Well, I don't like Elon Musk, so I did that. I mean, he didn't even have the guts to say that when confronted. They're gutless is what they are. It just irritates me to no end. The ones I see standing outside the Tesla dealership. Yeah, you're free to go out there and protest all you want under the First Amendment. But when you start damaging somebody else's car, that crosses the line. All right, quick break here. We'll get to Jim Carafano of Heritage coming up here shortly. Bottom of the hour, it is the Capitol Beat with Congressman Eric Burleson, who's actually back in Missouri today, meeting with some of his constituents. We're going to talk to him at 7:35. So I just confirmed the owner of that Tesla is a guy named Christian Kirk, and there's not contact information for him on here, unfortunately, but I'm going to have to try to get a hold of this guy, see if we can get him on the show talking about this, because he's the one that posted this in a forum of Tesla Cybertruck owners, and that's where this came from. So again, maybe if we can get him, or if you know him, we can get him on the air talking about when this happened and if it's true that no charges are going to be filed against this guy. Here's what I would think the prosecutor should do. Tell the guy, I will charge you unless you can figure out how to get the sticker off of that car without damaging it. Because there's nothing more irritating. I'll be honest with you. It's been a long time since this happened to me, but I know it happened to Carl here in our parking garage one time. They put an orange sticker on his car claiming he parked in a wrong spot. It wasn't the building people that did it. It was some jerk in the garage that had his preferred spot and it wasn't reserved, but Carl parked there and they stuck this ugly orange sticker on his window. And you can hardly get those things off. You use Goo Gone and all that other stuff, and it still tends to stay on there. So anyway, I'm going to try to get a hold of this guy and see if I can get him on the show here, since we have figured out his name now, and we'll see how that works out. All right, let's get to Jim Carafano, please.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
All right, Jim, happy Friday, my friend. How are you?
I am living the dream. And you?
I am doing very well, I have to tell you. I couldn't be better. I saw a headline yesterday. Maybe you can put this in perspective for me, because I don't think most people walk around thinking about these things. But I saw a headline that India and Pakistan are about to go to war with each other again. Is this true?
Well, you know, I often tell people I'm not always right. Because when I do my analysis, I always discount the stupid, ridiculous, dumb options.
Okay.
And you know, and sometimes people take that. There is no reason. There's no logical reason for India and Pakistan to go to war with each other. I understand. You know, there was a big terrorist attack in India. It was horrible. It makes perfect sense for the Indians to, you know, sound very aggressive and you know, make, but they don't go into war. Pakistan doesn't do anything for them. Having said that, you know, who knows? But here's what I will absolutely 1,000% the possibility of this going nuclear, because, you know, both of them have nuclear weapons, is less than zero.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I didn't know why it was heating up right now in the middle of all this other stuff that's going on. So
because of the big terrorist attack in Kashmir. It was very, very horrible. It was kind of almost like an October 7th thing, just a bunch of people out picnicking, and then these terrorists came in, they start shooting, killing people. I don't remember the exact number that died, but it was, you know, but it was a major terrorist attack in the Kashmir part of India. And the Indian government has to react in response to those things. And they did things like they basically said all Pakistanis have to leave the country. I mean, so it's gotten very aggressive, and both sides have put troops on the border. But said, actually going to war doesn't really serve the interests of either of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the meantime, Mike Waltz has been unceremoniously removed from his position, but they're going to move him to the UN. I've heard that the administration's kind of defended it as well. He's not really being fired. He's just being relocated. But this has got to be connected to this signal controversy, right?
I'm not sure. You know, when they write the history books, this will be seen as a promotion. This is a cabinet level position. Yeah. It's a major thing. So, and to be honest with look, and people don't understand the National Security Council and the role of the National Security Advisor. Everybody thinks that the person in there is only successful if they're, Henry Kissinger. And that's not right, particularly for Trump. And what people really don't understand is this is a cabinet run level government. Nobody is trying to run the government from the White House. The president has these people, and they come in the room, and he says, go forth and do this, and they do. So this role of the National Security Council, like being the genius behind the thing and coordinating everything, that's not necessary for Donald Trump. You know, when we created the National Security Council to get better integration, but what it actually meant was the cabinet members would come into the White House, and they would sit down with the President of the United States, Dwight Eisenhower, and they say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then they would go out and do that. This thing of devolving into, we're going to bring all the people in the White House, and then they're just going to tell everybody what to do. And then they're just, you know, basically executors, which is kind of how it ran under Biden and Obama. That's not necessary for Trump. And so we make way too much a big deal about who's actually sitting in that job. And to be honest with you, it's a paper pusher job. And so being in the UN is actually a much more rewarding and higher profile and actually impactful job than being the National Security Advisor.
I'm pretty sure Mike Waltz supported airstrikes against Iran. There's these continued nuclear negotiations between Iran and the United States. Some have talked about, should we be bombing Iran? What do you think about all that?
Well, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Donald Trump thinks. And Donald Trump has no interest in bombing Iran, which is why we have seen, honestly, across the government, the more aggressive people, I mean, if you're like, I'm pro-Israel to the hilt and Iran can have a nuclear weapon, you are fine. But they're a little risk averse. They don't really want kind of the John Bolton guys in here. We just need to bomb Iran and get this over with, because that's not where Donald Trump is.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, I see that they're making some progress, apparently. Is there any reason to ever trust what comes out of China? Isn't it sort of like Russia? I mean, they say, oh, we're not talking to the Americans. They've reached out to us a number of times. Right. And the administration says, right, of course we're talking to them.
Right. Look, I mean, the Chinese are, what I admire about the Chinese, not in a good way, but they are relentless in the pursuit of their goal. They are the Terminator. But as the Terminator would only go out and kill people, the Chinese are happy. You know, can I bribe you? Fine. Can I threaten you? Fine. Yeah. Can we cut a deal? Fine. As long as the Chinese are moving forward, they don't really care how they do it. And they're happy to, like, change up their strategy all the time. And yeah, of course you can't trust them, because they're just relentless in the pursuit of their goal. And their ultimate goal is China is better off in the world if America's not in the world.
Yep, that's true. Jim, have yourself a great weekend, my friend. Sounds beautiful wherever you are. I can hear birds chirping.
I know, it is kind of cool. I love spring.
All right, we'll talk next week. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, yep, Jim Carafano there from MyHeritage. Love to get his take on this stuff. Coming up, Congressman Eric Burleson is going to join us as well on today's Capitol Beat, and we'll get you an update on how they're spending your money up there in D.C. Stay tuned.
All lawmakers do is tax and spend. That's why Missouri voters passed the Hancock Amendment in 1980 to place a limit on what the government can do with your money. But the Hancock Amendment is outdated. It hasn't provided a taxpayer refund since 1999 and probably won't without reform. That's why Missouri needs a taxpayer bill of rights. Colorado has one, and taxpayers there have received more than $8 billion in refunds. It's simple. There should be limits on government spending and refunds when there's a surplus in the state budget. A taxpayer bill of rights constitutional amendment would help limit the growth of government. Missouri's budget has nearly doubled in the past 5 years, yet the state lags far behind states like Colorado in economic growth. The Hancock Amendment was supposed to protect taxpayers. Now it's time for an update and a taxpayer bill of rights. After all, it's your money. Learn more at showmeinstitute.org. The Show Me Minute has been brought to you by Show Me Institute and Show Me Opportunity.
Mark Cox here. Join me, Annie Fry and Mark Reardon, along with Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw of the Retirement Advisory Group for the next Protecting Your Retirement educational event. It's Tuesday, May 20th at the Frontenac Hilton at 6:30. Here are Bob and Thomas with more.
Are you nearing retirement or already retired and worried about the market volatility and losses at this stage in your life? Would you like to learn why linking to the market is much safer than owning the market?
Would you like to learn how to automatically lock in your market gains every year without having to sell? Did you also know if you're 59 and a half or older, you can roll over your company retirement plan tax-free to protect your nest egg from any future losses? You'll get all the answers and more. If you're 59 and a half or older, you cannot afford to miss this event.
Protect your retirement nest egg and join the official financial advisors of my show, Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw, at the Frontenac Hilton on Tuesday, May 20th at 6:30 p.m. Go to retirementkey.com. That's retirementkey.com.
The Diamond Shop graduate. Graduation sale. All watches are 20% off, even Movado. Men's jewelry is 40% off. 40% off Arelli G and gold fashion jewelry. Everything else is 30% off. The Diamond Shop.
Nourishment for your mind. Mark Cox. Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
The economy shrank, first time in 3 years. People are pointing to the tariff policy. There are people looking at their 401ks that are worried. What do you tell them? Is this going to work?
Capitol Beat.
Congressman Eric Burleson on the phone with us back here in beautiful Missouri now. Congressman, how are you?
Doing great.
Great to have you on. That was Brett Baer on there with J.D. Vance. And J.D. Vance, of course, schooled him a little bit on what's going on with the economy and all of that stuff. You know, I've been anxious to get you on this week because we've been obviously covering the 100 days. And I saw where you gave Congress a D and President Trump an A.
Yeah, I mean, think Trump has come in with a bold plan. What's great is he had 4 years to kind of strategize how, you know, and how to move quickly. And it's been fantastic. I think it's historic. I've never seen it in my lifetime in politics. It's the best first 100 days of any presidency.
Yeah, I would agree. And I watch idiots like Chuck Schumer. I'm sorry for the description, but it's how I feel. Come in talking about how this is the lowest polling president. And they reminded him that he's personally polling at like 17%. And his comment was, well, you know, polls come and go.
That's great. But no, I mean, look, when Trump said, I'm going to secure the border. Even back in the campaign, I thought, okay, will he get to 94% of illegal border crossings? Reduction. He's reduced it by 94%. That's unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. And then you've got the executive orders on energy, unleashing American energy, defunding the EV charging stations and ending that EV mandate, all the woke garbage that he immediately, it was like a fog was lifted. The woke fog and the liberal, like, malaise that has been a blanket over this country and oppressing free speech and thought for the past 20 years just suddenly got lifted.
It'll be interesting. Go ahead, Congressman.
No, I just think it was wonderful. It's wonderful. People can be funny again.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I'm just curious who you think will step up to the plate to run for president. Obviously, Trump won't be running again. I know he jokes about that. I'm assuming it'll be J.D. Vance. But the big question is, who's the leader of the Democratic Party? J.B. Pritzker, I don't think he's the leader, but he's been very vocal, you know, having rallies in New Hampshire. He was on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. Who do you think right now is the current leader of that party?
I don't know there is one. I don't see people getting behind Pritzker. I don't see him get behind Sanders or Alexandria, AOC. I just don't see that. I don't see the vast majority. I think that if the Democrats want to win, they should look at people like a Josh Shapiro, who's able to win in a very difficult district or state. I mean, who's not crazy, right?
Yeah.
But that's not what the base of the party wants. They want the crazy AOC.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, we're talking to Congressman Eric Burleson from Missouri's 7th Congressional District. I understand that you chaired a hearing this week on Made in America and what has to happen for that industrial renaissance. First of all, manufacturers have to be encouraged to come back here, right? Which is what Trump's doing.
Yes. And, that conference really gave, that meeting that we had gave me some hope. We're at a place, so America, we used to build everything. At World War II, we were building 60% of the GDP was being manufactured in the United States. So 60% of the world GDP was being manufactured in the U.S. That is mind-blowing to think about. And that's why America won the war. When these wars, World War I and World War II started, America did not have the biggest navy. We didn't have the biggest military. We didn't have all the planes, but we were able to manufacture our way to a win. And that's unfortunate today that we're at, instead of 60%, we're at 11%. China is at 40%, right? So that should be startling to everyone who's listening.
Well, it should. And that, you know, I remember when Donald Trump saved, or at least tried to save, the steel industry in his first term. And we saw Granite City Steel reopen over here to start making the kind of steel, like, I don't, you know, my dad worked in the steel industry, and most people probably don't appreciate the fact that different steel plants make different kinds of steel. And we were facing a situation in the United States where we weren't producing the kind of steel you would need to make tanks and battleships and all of that. We were having to import it. And he's like, this is not acceptable. What if we ended up in a war and the people we're importing it from happen to be who we're fighting? What are we going to do?
Yeah, which is ridiculous. You know, like Carnegie famously built the bridge there in St. Louis with steel, right?
Right.
To demonstrate its strength. We were at this situation, and our hearing was about where do we go from here? Because we're not going to beat China on having cheaper labor. We're not going to beat them at this point on having cheaper energy and all that. But we've got to try to get there. We've got to try to get our energy costs down, and we need to have robust electricity to provide. We need to have the raw materials, which means we need to unleash the mining and all of that. But we also can innovate beyond China. So this hearing was companies that have figured out the next stages of manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, and it's mind-blowing what they do. And so think about Amazon Web Services as a platform. If you want to start an IT company now, you just go and buy shares of a server instead of building your own server farm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you buy shares, and you have all the applications you want, like every software that's like nuts and bolts that you need is there, and you're just buying a percentage. And that they're going to do that with manufacturing. So if you've got an idea for a product today, in order to get that designed and to get a prototype, you got to go to China. You got to go to Foxconn, and they will build you a prototype, and then you go to another manufacturer in China, and then they'll tell you, you know, how many they can produce and how much it'll cost.
Yep.
And but in this new world in America, you'll be able to do that on the fly, just paying for a share of a 3D printed, you know, metallic 3D printing machine in America.
Well, I'm glad that we're looking into these things and looking at what has to happen there. So I just want your honest assessment on this. You know, I listened to a bunch of different news sources, and the reporters in the mainstream media are playing this, that Republicans in Congress are losing faith in Donald Trump and his tariffs, and some of them are getting nervous about midterms. And I don't feel that way at all. I mean, you're in the halls of Congress. Is that how Republicans up there are feeling about this?
Well, politicians are politicians, but at the end of the day, like my view is that politics has changed, and I think Donald Trump has changed it. Some people like to shy away from the bold things, and they think that getting reelected in order to get reelected in a tough district, you avoid difficult things, you don't stand out, you don't take a stand. And I think it's opposite. I think people see what Donald Trump is doing, and that's what they expect out of their elected leaders is you know, to be bold.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Yeah, he breaks the template for sure when it comes to that kind of stuff. Congressman, always great having you on. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. We will talk soon. Enjoy your time at home with the family. We know you will. Kim, what are we whimming about today?
How many friends would you say you have?
Boy, that's, you mean close or like acquaintances?
Well, I don't really know, because Mark Zuckerberg says the average American has 3 friends, but the average American really needs about 15. So he's come up with a solution to help you get to that number. Wait until you hear this.
All right, we'll be back.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk. On a whim.
Mark Zuckerberg is really worried that Americans don't have enough friends. He says the average American has about 3 friends, but really has a demand for closer to 15. So his idea is to work on these personalized AI friends. He's calling it Meta AI. And he believes it can supplement your friendships with computer programs.
Oh, come on. Like you would have a virtual friend? Is that what he's suggesting?
Yeah, basically. Listen to him talking about this. Hang on.
You're not just going to want to like type to it. You want to like have a conversation, right? And it's not just about having it be like only able to answer hard questions. It should like get to know you and like what you think is funny and like what you ate, right? So that way, you know, it can like, or, you know, what your hobbies are. So that way it can kind of relate to you. And
isn't that what we all want?
Is it sounds like we're talking to some non-binary person or something. What's an it? Is it like, can you call it up? Does it have a phone number?
Good question.
Or do you have to chat with it in your chat box?
Here's what's ironic about this. He's saying, you know, this won't replace real human connection. It will just supplement it. But the irony in all of this is when social media started really taking off, which would have, Facebook started becoming a thing when I was maybe a senior in high school, something like that, around that time. So like 2007, maybe-ish, I think. That's when I feel like people started losing friends, maybe. I mean, they had online friends, but they became so invested in just sitting behind a computer screen and now their phone and talking to people online that I feel like these real life human connections kind of were, I mean, they fell short. They weren't given the attention that they needed to continue on.
I know how much Mark Zuckerberg appreciates person-to-person communication, because I saw the way he looked at Lauren Sanchez the day of the inauguration.
We all did.
But I'm just saying, here's the reason why this will be successful for him. You want to know why? For the same reason that they can sell sex dolls.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people out there who are either introverts or have a hard time talking to people who are going to be much more comfortable with that than actually interacting with a human being.
Yeah.
I've seen these robots they sell that you can basically have in your house. I mean, they're not doing homework. They're not doing housework for you yet, but you can interact with them because you know there will be people seeking this kind of companionship. If he was smart, he'd just go ahead and charge for this now. Like,
he probably will. It'll $40 be some sort a of month like a subscription something. Program.
Yeah.
People have AI girlfriends and AI boyfriends already, and there's I've never done this before. Well, that's also true.
Have.
That's it's funny you say that because that was exactly what Sharon was saying on Facebook. Anyone who takes advice from Zuckerberg needs more than friends, they need a psychiatrist. Amen. Yeah, it blurs reality with this AI technology because it's become so realistic. They look very human-like. They sound very human-like that you get invested. You start having feelings toward this non-existent bot and it totally takes over. And you are, again, you're in these blurred lines of what is reality. And it's just very, very odd, and it's a slippery slope, and this is the future of where we're going. And that's why I think we have to be so careful with AI. The Trump administration's like, it seems like they're gung-ho about it, and there are a lot of good things about AI. I'm not saying we shouldn't embrace it. It can be used for good, but I am of the opinion that we need to be pumping the brakes a little bit and say, whoa, 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 this can go way too far very quickly.
I'm so disturbed by that. I really am. I think it's just it's the death of human interaction by if something like that catches on. Maybe it's too late because we all carry our phone around and sit at restaurants with our families and look at our phones instead of having conversations.
And that's sad.
I don't know. It is. By the way, speaking of sad, there's some guy in Kirkwood who has been vandalizing Teslas. And he got caught on camera, and the owner of the Tesla posted his interaction with this guy, challenging him about, you know, argue with me. Why did you do this to my car? And the guy just walked away. Police talked to him, but he hadn't been charged, apparently. I have managed to track down the owner of that Tesla, and he's going to join me in the next hour at about 8:35. So stay tuned, and we're going to find out why he thinks that the prosecutor in Kirkwood will not charge this guy with a crime. We'll get to that coming up. Stay tuned.